Welcome to Table Talk, a place for honest conversations and getting to meet friends. I'm Betsy Thompson, and I'm here with one of my very dear friends, Alan Adams. Thank you for coming to hang out today.
It's a blessing to meet you.
Yeah. It is going to be so fun getting to hang out with you. And you are, to me, a sweet friend, but also kind of second father, because your daughter Crystal is one of my very best friends. And so just so thankful to get to be a part of your family's life. Y'all are just an amazing group of people. Crystal, you know, is one of my favorites. Yeah. And so I know she's yours, but she's one of my very favorites. And so I'm so glad that we get to hang out today.
Yeah, we got a lot of great pictures of all of y'all hanging out over at the house.
So yes. It's good. Yeah. Love those people. So the reason I asked Alan to come on Table Talk today is we're going to kind of start a little series of about connect groups, which is our small group model here at Sagemont, our Sunday school model here at Sagemont. They meet on Sunday mornings, 8 o'clock, 9:30, 11:15. We've got tons to choose from. And if you've been here at Sagemont with us for any amount of time, especially in the last couple of months, you are hearing from the stage regularly every single Sunday. Hey, if you're in worship, your next step is to get plugged into a connect group. And I wanted us to spend time this summer talking about, okay, what is a connect group? But then also why? Why should I spend my Sunday, make my Sunday longer at church to be a part of a connect group? And the first person I thought about to come and kick this off was Alan, because you are a connect group director.
Correct.
Of Soul Support, which is one of our connect groups here at Sagemont. You are the longest running director at Sagemont Church. How long have you been a director of a group?
This September will be 34 years.
34 years, y'all. I love it. And consistently, like, you've been doing this.
Yeah. We took over a existing class that had been a kind of a booming class, but the director's parents were in bad health and making a lot of trips to Louisiana, and so they just slowly stopped being involved. And then they had a good outreach group, but same thing, they started doing family and had a great class, just had kind of dwindled down to a real small group. And I was asked, Debbie and I were asked to take over the class, and so we blindly went in and then, you know, and with faith and took it over, and we've been there ever since. It was a young adult class, and we still like to say we think it's a young adult class, although
y'all could get away with it, maybe.
Although so we are at the other extreme of the segment of that.
Yeah. But, one thing we were kind of laughing about beforehand is the kind of evolution of the name of these groups. So talk through, what are all the different names you remember?
Well, we still caught in our group, all of us will still go back to Sunday school.
Sunday school.
And so that's just ingrained in our minds,
Sunday school.
And so we'll say that. But I don't know that I can remember all the
like letters and numbers, right?
Well, it still is. I mean, we still have those. Like, we are MA3L now. So MA3 is married, adult. I think 3 was like the segment of 1 to whatever, where you were at in it. And L, E, M, or L was early, middle, or late.
Okay.
So theoretically, we are MA3L now.
Okay.
So married adult, and I just don't know what the 3 is.
Okay.
And at the late hour. You know? But I think the first deal is we went to Connect Group. And you know, it took a long time to get used to saying Connect Group.
Was it iConnect?
iConnect.
iConnect. That was the first big switch. Yep.
Small I, capital C.
Yes.
And
it's when Apple came out and all the
spell check doesn't like small.
No.
Yeah, small I, capital C. but yeah, iConnect, and then we went to Connect Group, and then just Connect.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, from that aspect of it.
So,
but we still, in our lingo, we'll call it Sunday school.
And I think it's one of those, because you look at different churches, they all have basically, not all, but some form of Sunday school or small group of or something, but there's a million different names for it.
Right.
And so there is kind of that consistency of, hey, this is what we call it here, but this is really what it is.
And I understand it, you know, the concept of getting people to connect. But I think, you know, back when we started it, and it was called Sunday School. You know, that might be what it called, but the key to success then was figuring a way to connect.
Yes.
So the method has never changed. It's like the That's Word right. of God. The Word of God never changes, mm-hmm. but sometimes the method is used to get it out. And I think that's the thing with Sunday school classes, is that the method that you call it changes to attract different people.
Right.
But the way to be successful, the map of doing it is still very basic yeah. and very the same the way you grow mm-hmm. a good class. You know.
So y'all have been the directors for 34 years, but you also have a lot of people in your group that have been with y'all all of those 34 years.
We've got one of the things I probably started 25 years ago is to involve people in it. You know, it's the old joke that everybody's heard about the man that gets up and says, you know, I don't want to go to church today. You know, and his wife says, no, you've got to go to church. I don't want to go to church today. And, you know, and she says, you have to. He goes, tell me why I have to. She goes, because you're the pastor. Yeah. Well, it's the same thing. If you get people involved,
yeah.
it takes away the excuses of doing. And sometimes the times that I don't want to go the most is really the devil, because that's the times when I make myself do it, is that God blesses me the most, or yeah. it's the missed opportunity that I had that I never would have had mm-hmm. if I wasn't disciplined or committed or had an area of service.
Right.
So I came up with the deal, everybody a minister, probably like 25 years ago. And I took a board and put it on the wall, and anything I could think of, I would call it a director of this, you know, director of, water or donuts
yeah, right.
or whatever. And to get anybody involved yeah. in doing it. And so, for instance, in our class right now, when I was working, managed a pretty large organization, but I've got a large organization in my Connect group. I've
Absolutely.
Got over 35 people that have an area of responsibility mm-hmm. in doing something and having to be there every yeah. every single morning. And so having people involved in that makes a big difference in having those people there all the time.
They have ownership. Yep.
So back to your original question, we have one person, it was a couple, but her husband passed away about a year ago. We have one person that is a original member. Hmm. We've got, within a year of that, we've got about 16 more
wow.
that joined within that. And if I add a couple years to that, I can probably add another 10
yeah.
of people that are still there from that length of time.
Yeah. And y'all had different teachers over the years that would come in and teach, right?
Well, so when I talked at the beginning, when we took over the class, that was a large class, but they had dwindled down to 16 people attending.
Mm-hmm.
And they had three classes. They had the old typical, they had a couples class, a men's class, and ladies class.
Okay.
So the leadership is six people. So we actually had 10 people attending the class.
Yeah.
And they had three classes. I'm going, okay, so you got like three people in each room?
Right.
Tell me how that's exciting to come into
yeah.
if I'm a visitor, you know?
Right.
And so I reduced it down to one. I interviewed all three of them. I reduced down to one teacher and we made it one class
okay.
so that we could start getting people seeing each other and start building mm-hmm. Connections and so forth. So a gentleman named Steve Agner, Steve and Brenda Agner, a real great man of God, and can still to this day write me notes that God speaks to me, encourages mm-hmm. me to this day.
That's awesome.
And so he was my teacher for the first 12 years,
okay.
and then they moved up to the Dallas-Fort Worth area, and I still talk to him frequently mm-hmm. and so forth. But I have to talk about Steve a minute. Steve was a real tall, thin individual
mm-hmm.
and extremely quiet and shy.
Oh.
And you go, that doesn't make for a great teacher. But he was like another person when he started
really?
Teaching. He knew the Bible and he was so great at doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And his and my personality would just match great.
Yeah.
You know, And, you know, so I would do stuff with him and his just dry sense of humor, me just doing crazy stuff that would just, you know.
Yeah.
It created a lot of laughter and camaraderie in the class, and it worked well. So,
yeah.
But so he was for 12 years.
Okay.
And when he left, then I decided to, I'm going to bring in a staff member. And
okay.
So I started bringing in staff members and you know, I would have the director of the iConnect group, BR. So I started doing like that. And then it got up to where I really needed two individuals to do it because, you know, one would be out and,
sure.
And so forth. So I started getting a staff member and then someone else. And then we actually have three teachers teaching in our class now. So we got Denny Autry, who's been there for over 20 years, has been teaching there.
Okay.
And he was the dean of Southwestern Theological Seminary, of course, on staff here at Sagemont. Charles Savelle was a Old Testament
professor
at Southwestern Theological Seminary. So he is in there. And kind of the same thing with Charles. Denny, of course, is dynamic and so forth. And then, but Charles, but... my son-in-law, Zach Nicholson, was a teacher for our short while.
Yeah.
And then whenever he got into more responsibilities, he had to stop doing that. He recommended Charles Avell. And so Charles was a professor at the time. And Charles first came in, and Charles would kill me when he sees this moment, but he would expect it. He first came in, and he was used to teaching seminary students.
Right.
And so it was just straight like that, you know, and the first time he came in teaching, we were all just going, I mean, just so far over our heads, you know. And so I got Charles after, and I think it would work out to him. And I said, but you got to remember, we're not a seminary class, you know. You have to loosen up, you know. And so next time he's doing it, and now he's got to, so he's been teaching in there for
a long time,
10, 12 years.
Yeah.
And now... he's like, I have to go to him the other way. Okay, you know, remember you are a professor, but he's phenomenal. And then Emery Gadd is teaching, and Emery's been in there for a long period of time.
Yeah, I had Charles come on Table Talk because working with him just as a teacher in Connect groups and getting to know him through that, I was like, he's this professor.
Yeah.
And then I heard him speak or teach one time in maybe Wednesday in the Word or something, and he just flippantly said two or three things about his life.
Yeah.
And I was like, what?
He is so great.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Like super cool.
Yeah.
I mean, it was really neat to hear his story because he is one of those that his personality, you wouldn't guess it until you get to know him and get to talk to him.
He's great. He's in Israel on a dig right now. So I will say this, and I'll challenge anybody that sees Charles, a thing you would never expect out of a seminary professor. He knows every song of every kind. I don't care if it's rock and roll, if it's country and western, if it's gospel. If you play a tune, he can tell you the song, the person that sang it, and pretty close to year it was
out.
I mean, it's just...
Poor Charles, everybody's going to be walking up to him singing.
Good. I'm hoping it works. As a matter of fact, I want you to do that. I want you to drive him crazy, yeah. but he is... if you ever do a trivia game and you've got music, that's the guy you want to
get him
on
your
team.
Yeah. Okay, good to know. Yeah. Well, one of the things I think that is neat is I think so often people think the driving force of Connect groups is the teacher. And sometimes it is for sure. But I think that connecting piece so often is the thing that keeps people.
Yeah.
And y'all are such a great example of years of people staying through different teachers. Because of the connecting they did. And in Soul Support, you were a huge driving force of figuring out how do we get everyone to connect. And your personality, you did a lot of just silly things to make people laugh. One of the things, I've heard you tell the story, and I don't exactly remember the whole thing, but this was, I mean, way back. You brought a door into class?
Well, I didn't actually bring a door. I utilized a door.
Okay, so something with a door.
So I will answer that. Let me kind of lead up to where that came from.
Yeah.
Is that I accepted Jesus as my Savior at Vacation Bible School like around the first grade or so forth. Mm-hmm. And I know that's when I was saved and so forth, but I never was made to go to church or never mentored from that and so forth. And so I never really started a walk with the Lord, you know, but I always had awareness and always had a sense of, you know, God was there and so forth. And so it wasn't until the birth of my daughter, I started looking at my life and I'm going, you know, God's given me responsibility for this child. And I it's no longer my actions. It's just, I'm responsible for someone else's actions. Mm-hmm. And I don't want them to grow up the same way I is. So myself and my wife had been, lifestyle we'd been living. And so we started searching again and so forth and started looking at churches. To make a long, very, very long story real short, ended up, you know, through the birth of my daughter, getting him back involved in church, making a profession of faith again, getting baptized again, and so forth. But that's when I really made Lord the Lord of my life, and not just the Savior. So, so as I started going to Sunday school, it was real uncomfortable. And so I remembered those days. And I remembered as, you know, early 20s, mid 20s, how uncomfortable it was walking into a Sunday school room of everybody with suits on. And
yes.
Everybody proper, you know, everybody hit what I called the holy payment. You know, they've been arguing with their kids and hollering everything until they drove on the deal and they go,
You're supposed to behave.
You're supposed to be this person. I'm going, but that's not what a Christian life is about, you know. And so when we started doing a connector, I wanted people to be comfortable coming into a class and see that, you know, we're just like you.
Yeah.
We're no different. It's just that we serve the Lord, you know?
Right.
And we have Christ in our life that makes a difference as a foundation of life. But we've got the same struggles you have. We have the same deal. So I wanted to break that stereotype.
Mm-hmm.
So the way I wanted to break it was with laughter.
Yeah.
And so when we started this class and we started doing it, I would start doing this stuff, you know, and everybody would just sit out there and go, you know, like that, and I'm going, well, this is clearly not working.
Yeah.
You know, but I would just keep doing it. So, you know, as it is, it would start getting people out of their shells and start doing that. So we had when we got to class, we were in up above what the old chapel was.
Mm-hmm.
And the rooms then had bifold doors, so you could open them up.
Mm-hmm.
And have like three rooms, or you could put these bifold walls that would fold up against the wall and expand all the way out and then connect to the other one and divide them out. Well, then you had to have a door to get through to each one.
Right.
So we took over this class where we got big and we opened into another area we needed. And so we opened into the third area. Well, what ended up happening is we had all these bifold doors all folded up against the wall. And right where I had the podium, there was a door that when you fold this door, you know, it would be it. So I'm going, you know, it just looks stupid there. I said, so I got to do something about this door.
Yeah.
So I made up a series of 12 signs. And every week I'd put a different sign. I'd stick it on the door. And so like one, at that time we were on the second floor.
Yeah.
So I put on their elevator. And so I announced to the class, I go, hey, good news is, you know, we've been able to get the pastor to put an elevator in our class. He knows we're the best class here at the. He wants us to get to the service after class the fastest way.
Right.
So, help us. So just, you know, be sure and when you get done, don't go out this door and so forth. Yeah, did that. I made it a telephone one time. So I got a. Now this was back when there was not cell phones.
Right, you had
telephones with a cord and all that. So I put a wire inside and put a receiver on it with a real long cord. And of course, we didn't have technology like we're doing now and all this stuff. You know, you had to do old school. So I went back and took a cassette tape and put a cassette deck, and I recorded a phone ringing three times.
Okay.
And I put 3 minutes of silence beforehand. So when it was time to go up, I started the tape in the back. So I walked up and I knew I had 3 minutes to talk before
the phone was going to ring.
The phone's going to ring. So you know, I'm giving my announcements is over, and all of a sudden, phone rings. Of course, it just, everybody goes like that.
Yeah.
I looked, you know, and I had to deal in here, phone booths, but I didn't say anything about it.
Right.
You know, on the deal. And so I finally turned around and looked, saw the phone booth. So I reached over and opened up the door and took it off. And of course, I did it on the third ring because right. I knew the tape
it would stop.
So I picked it up. And it was my mom. I mean, you know, and I go, Mom, I'm right in the middle of you know, doing a class. I go, you know, I can't talk to you. You know, that's what I was just, you know.
Yeah.
Just, okay. Yes, you know, I think, yes, Mom, I have on clean underwear. Okay, I got to go. Yeah. You know? And so, you know, so I would do that. I did it. One time I made, I pushed this for 4 weeks. And so every week I tell them, I go, look, on Thanksgiving, God has blessed Debbie and I, and we're going to give turkeys to every couple that's here, you know, for Thanksgiving.
Wow, yeah.
So I put a sign. So I announced it for 4 weeks. And on the fourth week, I put a sign on the door that said, free turkeys, inquire within. And I had brought then a full-length mirror from the house, and it hung it on the inside. So if you went over and opened the door, and you opened up.
It was you.
You saw yourself, you know. So, you know, just stuff like that, you know.
Yeah.
But you know, if you can get people laughing and to break down those walls and break down that seriousness and so forth,
mm-hmm.
and it's kind of like singing, you know, singing prepares the heart for worship. Well, if you can get them to laugh and lose some, forget their problems, forget all this, and just kind of, you know, and say, oh, yeah, that was funny and so forth. But then really and truly, you know, okay, now we're going to study the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
And get in, you know, God's going to speak to them, you
yeah.
know. And even if the thing that they remember was a funny deal that gets them back next week, the funny's not what you're looking for.
Right.
For. The deal is to get them back and start learning God's
yeah.
word and to get connections with other people mm-hmm. outside of that time.
Yeah.
So.
And I also think it shows that you care about that group, that you were doing things outside of that time you were in the room to prepare to be with them.
Yeah.
Like that, that speaks to people when they're like, he took time to find a phone, to make a thing, to bring a mirror in. Like, I think that is so neat when we look at our directors and think they're putting time into these classes.
Here's the deal I would say to any director. If you're not putting the same amount of time in preparing for Sunday that your teacher is in bringing the Word of God, you're missing an opportunity.
I love that.
And you know, you've got to put that same amount of time of, as a director, your deal is to, your piece is to get all the pieces working,
mm-hmm.
you know, and you know, I want to get someone serving in all the things that are doing it, but my job is to get those people doing it, you know, train them into ways to do it, and to get all those things working behind the scenes so that I can focus really on just looking out, sensing what God's wanting to do that day, and you never know,
yeah.
you know, and you know, a lot of my stuff is just of, I might have prepared some, but God just kind of shows me something else just in doing stuff that okay, here's what it needs
yeah.
that morning. You know, you've got to sense the, what it is.
Mm-hmm.
I will say the other thing as a director, it's important, and our pastor is so phenomenal at this now. You know, you see our pastor everywhere.
Yeah.
Before the service. Well, you think, oh, isn't he back to praying or studying or so forth? No, what's he out? He's out interacting with
yeah.
people. He's in the balcony. He's in the parking lot. He's
yep.
in the, all minutes before he's going to preach.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he did his homework beforehand in preparing
to
preach.
Yep.
So now he's just, you know, well, same thing. I try to, every morning, you know, as people are filing in, just going around and talking to people
mm-hmm.
and so forth. And you sense of the ones that are down, the ones that are, you know, and just talking to them, you'll get a lot of your ammunition that morning.
Yes, hearing stories
yeah,
and things
yeah,
you can talk about,
yeah,
for sure.
And everyone knows that, oh my gosh, if you don't want everyone to know it, you better
don't
know,
tell Alan.
Don't tell Alan, because it's going to come out in the
right.
somehow
yes.
or a picture that I took during the week of something, you know, is going to make it onto the
right.
slideshow or
yeah.
something, you know. And so, but anyway, I think
I love that so
I
much.
I think that's a key piece is that. You got to bring laughter
yeah.
and people have to enjoy what they're doing.
Yeah.
You know, do you, outside of church, do you, anything you're passionate of, do you go to it out of commitment or do you go to it out of something you mm-hmm. enjoy doing?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you want people to come and enjoy yeah. the time they're here.
Mm-hmm.
And lots of times that's a process. Mm-hmm. When they're first visiting, absolutely, that's not the way to do it. You know, and eventually you get them to the point that they don't need that hand holding, right, you know, or that crutch of mm-hmm. laughter or so forth. They're there for the right reasons, yeah, but you got to get them from there to where they need
that's
to be.
That's right. And I love thinking about it because somebody might go, well, yeah, Alan, you can do that because you're retired and you're, when you were doing all of this, you were working, you had young kids, and this was something that was a priority for you.
So my retirement is 2 years now.
Yeah.
And the first year and a half of that retirement was focused on my wife and,
right,
and her battle with cancer. So, but the vast majority of the time I had a full-time job.
Yep.
I was
a dad, a grandpa,
I was in a Fortune 100 company and a Fortune 500 company, yep, you know, had tons of responsibility and I was a deacon here.
Yep.
You know, there's, you know, but it, you know, it's about your priorities, you know, and you know, I've always said, you know, God gives you enough enough time to do the things he wants you to accomplish.
I love that.
Is that just where you're putting your time at? You know?
Yeah, that's really good.
Yeah.
Another huge piece that y'all are really great at that I think is a great why to be a part of a Connect group is the way y'all support one another. And over 34 years, y'all have had things to celebrate. You've had things to come alongside when hard things happen. Talk a little bit just about you and how you have been on the giving end and the receiving end through all these years and different people in the group, because that's one thing we tell people all the time about why it's so important to connect is God put us here with other people for fellowship and to have people that will support us. And so often it's when we're in the middle of needing it,
yeah,
that we notice we don't have it. And so it's being purposeful before you're in that situation to be someone that's giving support, because every single one of the Bible tells us we're going to have highs and we're going to, yeah, have lows. And so building those relationships, so when we do go through valleys, there are people, those relationships are already built. Talk just about what the importance of that has been.
Well, I'll go back to the the original thing. Excuse me. The original thing we talked about. You can never steer away from saying that the primary reason for a Connect group or Bible study is the study of God's Word.
Absolutely.
Unequivocally, that's got to be the number one,
yep,
priority. And if you don't have good teaching, you're not going to draw people. But you're not going to keep people if that's all you've got is good teaching. So the second thing is, I think, is that you've got to have community in it. Mm-hmm. And they got to know that you care.
Yeah.
So one of the things that we made a commitment to do in the very beginning is to do what we call small groups. Mm-hmm. And so that's where we have a group leader over five couples, or if they're singles or widows or widowers, and then we have that over those five, mm-hmm, five widows or whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever. And so. Or five singles, or mm-hmm, so we have those groups. We have that, and what I said is that, you know, numbers is not what we're about. What we're about is meeting the needs of people,
yeah.
And we will always have small groups. And most people think of small groups as, oh, we're going out studying. Now I'm talking about small groups of ministry.
Yeah.
So you ask two people or a couple or a single person to volunteer to minister to five people.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's their job to look for those five people or five couples every Sunday morning.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not there, not to make them feel guilty and not, mm-hmm, to harass them, but just reach out and just, hey, notice you weren't there.
Yeah. Check on them.
Just,
yeah.
Just want to make sure everything's okay.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, and also, if there's a need, you know, if someone's sick or in the hospital, mm-hmm, then that group, you know, gets a meal to them and minister to them. And if it becomes too much for that group or something, then we move it to our leadership group,
right,
which we've got a big leadership group. Then, mm-hmm, we step in and,
right,
and do that. And then also to get the chain of communication. So so there's no way, you know, we've got 130 people on our row. And we average about 90 people, mm-hmm, on a Sunday morning. There's no way I can meet the need of every person.
Right.
But if you have all those people doing it, they let me know. I need to know about all of them, right, and I need to get involved when I can. And so there's been several times that we've got up and we got to the point of, over the 34 years, got to the point of, you know, over 50 people, and God didn't provide the need. Mm-hmm. And so we had to just take the size of the class down.
Yeah.
And there's ways you can bring the size of the class back down, you know. And we would do it, and then just pray, God, you know, when you provide the people, then we'll provide to do it. Until we finally hit that point that God provided the people, and we started then going to where we have no barrier of size now, because God provides people. And also, people are doing things in there.
Yeah.
So back when we started the class, I had to do everything. I had to greet people at the door. Right. I had to go to, you know, I had to do all that aspect of it. But slowly you get other people to do that. Mm-hmm. And now they're doing it. And so then they learn those things. So I would say, although we've got as good a teaching as any class in this church, I would say there's none better at ministering than what we are. And it's because we kept that core value of a small group.
Yeah.
And as far as I know, we're the only big class that is able to maintain small groups.
Yeah.
But I think that's our secret sauce.
Yeah.
And is doing that. And so we're not perfect.
Sure.
We miss somebody sometimes, and we do it. But it's not because of we don't try.
Mm-hmm.
It's a priority of us, and we make sure we do stuff. I've got the McCormick, Sheila and Blake, and Sheila especially is just phenomenal at being able to minister people and keep. And it's a lot to keep track of all the folks we've got in our class. So, you know, that's her responsibility is to manage the her and Blake's responsibility to manage the group leaders and to do them. And so, you know, constantly calling, constantly putting in touch, constantly knowing.
Right.
And if there's anything I hear more in our class, it's whenever there's a need and people come back and they go, I cannot believe how many people in this class. And that's, I don't know if this is sound the wrong way, but that's when you've got them for life.
Yeah.
And that's why people stay in our class forever.
Absolutely.
And I'll try not to get emotional, but one thing that we've done at our Christmas social, there'll be times that we have a big Christmas social and we do all the white elephant gifts and have all the fun. But there's times in our class where there's just a lot of needs and hurts. And, and I pray, you know, it doesn't feel right we're having fun and all the people that are, you know, out doing it. So we've rented Greyhound buses and we've needed as many as two sometimes to do it. And we've said, okay, we've called ahead and at Christmas time and we come up to church and have a meal, but then we all get in on the bus and we all go and we go to the neighbors of them and we sing Christmas carols out. And the impact that made to, here's what I'll tell you, most to people has been unbelievable. All the way to this last Christmas, it's the first one, 34 years, Debbie and I couldn't make the Christmas social.
Right.
And because she was close to the end at that time. And here we had an entire class that got in cars, ate at the church, came over to our house, got behind our house, and someone called me and let me know it was happening, which was good.
Yeah.
I was able to get Debbie out of bed and put her in a recliner and look out the back windows and hear this herd of people came in our backyard and started singing Christmas carols. And the biggest smile I ever saw out of Debbie's, you know, and that was really the last day that she was really, you know, knew what was going on from that standpoint. And, you know, so there we spent all these years doing that, and lo and behold, it came back to us, you know, and
absolutely.
I'll tell you, it's a whole lot easier to do that to others than it is to receive it, by the way.
Right.
It's true. It's very different, but it let me see the difference that it makes in doing that. And I think that's what our class is key about doing is making sure, you know, no one falls through the cracks.
Yep.
And we don't miss that opportunity. And that's where it becomes family.
Yep.
People always talk about Sage Mountain, oh, it's such a big church, and you know, if you're looking for relationships, you're not going to find it in the church. I mean, in the big aspect of it.
Yeah.
But, oh, we're so blessed that we've got all the resources, things to do in a big church. But where you get personal and down to knowing someone is in the connect groups.
Absolutely.
That's where you build relationships. That's where you build it. That now you're not just seeing someone on Sunday morning, but you're having over their house on mm-hmm. Tuesday and having over on Wednesday, or you're going out on vacation with them and going. Right. And that's where you build community. And that's that piece back to the joke I made in the very beginning about the pastor and coming.
Yeah.
That's what gets you up every Sunday morning mm-hmm. and gets you here. And that's when God can minister to you either through our services of a pastor that is so gifted at meeting our needs through that. And then in the day-to-day relationships where there's a need, you can open up your heart and be transparent and be vulnerable.
Yeah.
And it's a safe place to be vulnerable because, you know, you're going to be that and everybody's going to be there for you, you know. And I think that's been the success of our classes, that one thing.
Yeah, I think that's very true. And I love even watching y'all's class as y'all have gone through the years. I think there's so many testaments to why y'all's class is so successful. But it is one of those I've seen in the last few years is people in your group that have had a spouse pass away and they don't go find a new class. They're like, these are my people. This is my community. And the class has done such a good job of going, absolutely, you're with us.
You know, my piece has always been that we're open to everybody. So we're primarily a couples class, and that's what we're going to build our structure at and so forth. But we've always said we want to make anybody feel comfortable in here. And so we've always been that way, and we found that as we do that, you know, and God brings those people to us, you know, and then we go, we need a group leader for that.
Right.
You know, and I mean, we didn't used to have a group leader for single individuals. We didn't used to have one for widowers. We didn't used to have one for widows.
Right.
Now we have a group leader just for those, you know, and that's exactly what you said is what I'm saying is that we're at that piece now to where a lot of us have been in that class a long time, like me, have lost our spouse. Mm-hmm. And that's family.
Right.
You know, and we're not going to go to a singles group.
Right.
You know, this is the people that, you know, we raised our kids with. Mm-hmm. This is the people that we've, you know, brought needs to and suffered with and celebrated with and went on vacations with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, why would you not continue to love them, you know, mm-hmm. and so forth. And so I think we started seeing that 3 or 4 years ago, and we started doing that. And lo and behold, who would know that I would, would all of a sudden be a part of
mm-hmm.
that, you know? So I'm a widower now, you know, but I'm still felt led to, you know, I prayed about it. I went to my leadership and said, if y'all think I'm no longer qualified to do this, you know, then I'll happily step down, you know, but I still want to be a part of the class. And they all meet said, no way. You know, and so I still feel called to be the leader of that mm-hmm. of that group, you know, because that's what God's equipped me to do, you know. But we found ourselves in a different piece, and so we're ministering to different groups, and God is blessing our class in doing that, and people are comfortable coming to it.
Yeah, absolutely. Y'all done such a great job, and I think it's so important for those people that are in their late 20s and early 30s, it is worth your time on a Sunday morning to come to worship and a connect group. Yes, I know it's a long morning. It's a long time for your kids to be in kids ministry or whatever. And you're like, oh, but their nap schedule gets thrown off or when we eat lunch gets thrown off. Y'all, hear me further along than you and Alan even further along than me say, it is worth it. It is one of the best, when you look back, it's one of the best things that you're going to do is say, on Sundays, we're going to go to worship and we're going to be a part of a connect group.
So, we started this out as a young adult class. So my kids were, when we started this class, were probably, I'm going to say, you know, 6, 7, you know, 4 and 8, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you know, we went through the period that our number one deal was birth of kids, you know. So, you know, what we did was, you know,
baby showers,
baby showers and stuff like that.
Yes.
So that was the deal. And then, and then we moved to the piece of everybody's in sports and so forth. You know, and let me tell you, we had just in the same type of needs then, you know, that, oh, I'm the only person in the family that's going through this still you know, my kid in diapers at 5 years old, you know, or something like that.
Yeah,
you know?
Hard things,
But you get in a group and you find out, I'm not the only one going through this.
That's right.
And then, boom, a connection happens. Mm-hmm. And it's a safe place to be vulnerable to say, hey, I'm struggling with this. You know, we needed it every step of the way. Yep. We needed it when our kids got, you know, in school. We needed it when they were doing sports or in choir or in
when you transitioned to empty nester, when you transitioned to grandparents.
Exactly right. And then the empty nester piece. And what mm-hmm. do we do with our time now?
Right.
And what, you know, and the kids in college, and then grandkids, and then now, you know, spouses passing away.
Right.
You know, that's been the safe place for us.
Yeah.
And you know, I think about it daily. You know, if we hadn't been serving, starting, you know. 35, 40 years ago, you know, it started serving and so forth. That's the founder. That's our family.
Yeah.
That's, I mean, we've got, you know, obviously our, you know, my kids and grandkids. So, but I mean, that's the family that has seen us go through everything. And I can't imagine at starting to experience some issues at my age now and not having someone that is walking through that with me, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I can't imagine it.
Right.
I can't imagine what I've gone through this year.
Right.
And not having the support base,
mm-hmm.
you know, that's been there for me and lifted me up. And
absolutely.
And prayed for me and continues to do that.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, it's what a church is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what's that old deal? I can't even do it. You know, when you're a kid to do all the steeple and all that, and you turn around and here's
all the people.
Yeah,
they're not there, but then you do this.
And here's all the people.
Yeah.
It's no different.
Yeah.
It hasn't changed, you know, in the 50 years I've been doing it. It hasn't changed. It's still the same thing it takes to make it work. It's about getting in a group, allow yourself to push away what the world's telling you to do.
Yeah.
Allow yourself to get in a group of like-minded people and be vulnerable.
Yep.
And are there going to be some people to take advantage of that? Yes. We're all humans. We're all people. But
we could talk just as long as we have about how good they are about the hard things.
Exactly right.
Because it's people. It's all the people, which are people that love Jesus, but we're still sinners. And so you're going to have the hard. Don't let that keep you from pushing through for the good.
Exactly right.
Yeah. I love that. Thank you for all you do at Sagemont. We greatly appreciate you. I love that you are so willing to share your wisdom. And y'all, if you're watching and you're a director of a Connect group, and maybe you've been a director 2 or 3 years, take Alan to lunch and ask him, say, tell me, what are the things? Y'all, he has so much wisdom. He's done it for a long time and done it well for a really long time. If you are looking for a Connect group, Soul Support is a great group to jump into, but there are tons of others that are super important and really good groups that you can jump into. One thing you have to do is just exactly what he just said. You have to walk in and be vulnerable. If you walk in and sit in the room and don't talk to anybody and don't go to any of the outside of Sunday morning activities or participate at all, you're going to get in. You're going to get out what you put in.
That's exactly right.
You're going to get out what you put in. Walk in with the intention of, I want to be a part of this group. I'm going to put in for this group. And it will change.
I think that's key. And what I will say, I know I as a director, and I believe every director feels the same thing. Don't be afraid to say, hey, here's what I need. You know, if you were to come to my class and as great as classes we are, we're not for everybody. If we were, there wouldn't be all the other classes, you know. But if my class is not the one that meets your needs, come to me and say, hey, look, I'm trying to hurt your feelings and everything. You got a great class, but it doesn't meet my needs. Here's what I need. I'll help you find one. And I believe any director of a class here would do exactly the same thing. We don't care about the numbers. What our role is to meet the needs and to grow community and that aspect of it. So we want you where God wants you to be at, where you feel you're comfortable, can plug in and become a part of, not just a sitting on the premises, but you know, getting involved in and do. And what you said is so key. Now, if you come to my class and you're not an outgoing person, I'm going to make you feel uncomfortable pretty quick. Yeah, because I'm going to pull it out of you. You know, I'm going to get you to talk and so forth. I won't embarrass you by any means.
Yeah.
But if you're just sitting back there and not making the effort to do it, our class will come to you and we'll make you feel welcome and so forth. But it's key. It can't just be, you have to be able to put forth the effort and investment in to get that return back.
Absolutely.
You got to be able to willing to give it to.
Yeah, it's important. Thank you for all you do at Sagemont. Love you bunches and appreciate you coming on today. Thanks for hanging out and just sharing y'all the why connect groups. And over the next few weeks, you're going to get to hear from lots of different directors and teachers. So I hope you'll come back as we talk about connect groups. And more importantly, go try some out. The beauty of a connect group, you don't have to register ahead of time. Once you go to one, you're not locked into that one forever. Start, get a list, go to the website, look at the different groups and say, hey, we're going to try this one this Sunday. Okay, we want to try this one next Sunday. And just start there. Just start with trying. It's a beautiful way that our connect groups are set up, is that you can just pop in and try one out. And so make that your next step, to try out a connect group. And then be purposeful to get involved and get plugged in to a connect group. So, Alan, thanks so much for being here. Y'all, thanks for hanging out on Table Talk. We will see you next time.